Hello, if you've just joined us, you're watching Stockwatch, tackling those tough questions in studio this evening. Wayne McCurry from Ashburton Investments, David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities. Don't forget to send those questions through to us via SMS to 41392. You can email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za. You can also tweet us at BusinessDayTV using the hashtag Stockwatch. Before we get cracking, though, here's how the local markets ended the day. And after yesterday's strength, even resources stocks capitulated today. The Resi 10 shedding 1.8%, financials down 1.5%, industrials losing just under 1%, and all show closing also a percent lower at the end of trade. Gents, very good evening. Bless you, Wayne. And welcome back, David. Jet lagged?
I am.
Coming from the States, are you worried about rising borrowing costs?
Not at all. I really don't think that 3% is really going to upset markets to the extent that we've seen. I think it's more worries about what lies ahead that has disturbed markets, because a lot of the companies that have been reporting have been concerned that, as we saw with Caterpillar last night, they said this is a high watermark or high, this is about as good as it's going to get. And obviously after tax reductions, this is about as good as it's going to get. But we're still going to see positive earnings growth for the next 2 years. But the market wants to go down. I'm not going to stop it. And if the reason's going to be high interest rates, 3%, then let it run its course.
Are you concerned, Wayne? Because it looks like equity investors are a bit worried.
Look, we must understand, we've spoken about this quite frankly ad nauseum. This is typical end of cycle behavior, or late cycle behavior more correctly. Rising interest rates on the back of rising inflation and the rising long bond yield and some choppiness and weakness in the equity market. Now, I think there's two factors. The first is, I don't think this late cycle is going to be as harsh as the previous two or three, simply because there's no rampant consumer expenditure, no rampant consumer borrowings, there's no rampant inflation. It's going up, but it's not out of control like it has been in previous occasions. So that's the first, I suppose, mitigating factor. The second is, I agree with David, 3% as a number doesn't matter. But as long as it settles between, I mean, let's pick numbers, as long as it settles below 3.2 or 3.3, you're probably okay. If this thing settles above 3.6 or 3.7, then I think you can see a quite big equity market weakness. Mm. Now, certainly we don't think it can, but I mean, that's just simply our opinion. So I don't think we're going to see any major collapse of the stock market at the 3% level. But as I said, should it go to the 3.6 or 3.7, you are going to have trouble. However, it is quite clear that the good times on global equity markets are probably behind us. I'm not saying it's going to collapse. I'm not saying it can't go up. I'm just saying the rampant bull market we've had for, call it 8 years, is behind us now. Yeah.
You're not telling people to go and withdraw all the money.
No, I'm just saying, don't expect these massive
returns
to
continue. Use a smart fund manager.
And I think that Wayne's right. We're probably going to see interest rates settle below 3%, and at that level, once we get it below 3%, I think the equity markets will start to stabilize. But I agree with Wayne, don't try force this up. Just let it find its own way. The problem is that if we do sell, do you want to stay in cash? And I'm talking on a global, in global terms now. You know, do you want to stay in cash? What do you want to do? I'm still choosing equities and just riding this out. Mm-hmm. It's difficult to put fresh money into the market now in a big way, but if you are exposed, just stay, stay the course. Remember, as earnings keep going up, the price or the multiples start to go down.
Comes down, yeah.
And you're going to find some attractive levels in which you can buy.
But I mean, maybe just to explain this a little bit more. Mm. When you're an investor and you can earn a 2.5% dividend yield and the long bond is 1.5%, you say, well, I'm going to buy shares. Mm. But when the dividend yield's 2.5% and the long bond's 3 or 3.5, then you sit back and say, buying shares is risky and I can get a higher return,
guaranteed.
Running return guaranteed on a bond. That's why higher interest rates are bad for the stock market, very simplistically.
Good. David mentioned Caterpillar, and we were discussing off air because we saw Barloworld down sharply today, down by 6%.
Yes, same story.
And that was despite announcing that it sold its Iberian operations for
at long last. At long last.
At long last. Yeah, it's been sitting there as a.
Those were actually good assets 20 years ago.
Yeah. But I presume the Barloworld movement was
correct.
In the back of Caterpillar
correct.
In that case.
Yes.
Okay. So take a question. Kubis has a question about, and I don't know what it says, but the Petrosky score. Does anybody know the Petrosky score? He said, no. Is it a good guideline for share picking?
Petrosky score.
No, they got
it. You better explain. Tell him to send a...
You learn something new every day.
You can send a mail and tell us what we what that means.
Tell us what it actually is. He would also like to know your view on Interwaste. Will the share recover or should he cut his losses and sell? Do either of you look at Interwaste?
I haven't looked at Interwaste since it was listed maybe a decade ago or thereabouts.
So look, the concept is really good. Waste management sites. But they've had some problems with them over the years.
And particularly that one in Midrand that everybody complains about, the Pong.
Yeah. And I think there's been a few other things on that. Just go back further on that.
Okay, so slightly longer chart on Interwaste. Yeah.
The concept is fantastic, but it just never seemed to work.
Okay. Well, we don't have that chart. So would you be steering clear of Interwaste?
Unfortunately, I would sit back, yeah.
Okay. So we have a question from Skumbuzo. And either of you look at Net One?
No, I saw 200%. I couldn't work out why. On very low volume. On extremely low volume. No, this is not a share I've looked at all.
Okay, so we're going to have to disappoint Skumbuzo, I'm afraid.
I don't know what it did today, but yesterday it was up 200% on low volumes.
But it is quite a tightly held share, isn't it? Yes. So, okay. Then Texton and Tower yielding 17.3 and 11.2% respectively. Would you invest in those? Is it worthwhile? Question comes from Leon.
Man, I haven't looked at those companies for a while. Unfortunately, you're stumping us a bit here this evening.
Okay.
It's a lot of these are smaller caps, and the problem is that
slightly larger cap.
Okay. Which one is that?
Okay, you're saying about the smaller caps.
No, I think one of the problems with smaller caps, and I'm not talking about it from a private investor point of view. You can always make a lot of money by spending time. Sadly, when you're running money and you have quite a bit to invest, it's very difficult to focus on those. First, you can't get the liquidity. And sometimes you can actually buy those companies. These have market caps of, I think, well over, under a billion rand. So that's why our focus is not there, and that's why perhaps we can't answer the questions. Okay. It's not that we're negative on them. It's just that we haven't got, or certainly I haven't got enough time to actually focus on those.
Go through them all, yeah.
Go through it all.
Okay, so... Ilani would like to know, why do RMH and RMI trade at such large discounts to their intrinsic value? RMH's value used to be close to its holding in FirstRand. What's changed?
Look, these discounts change all the time. Now, Rand Merchant Holdings is more, it's easier to work out what the discount is because it's overwhelmingly as assets are FirstRand and listed. I mean, there are some other assets. But RMI, because of OUTsurance, you don't take a market valuation on OUTsurance. You take your own valuation or the director's valuation. Mm-hmm. But all holding companies trade at discounts. And I suppose, there's an arbitrage opportunity. If the discount is too wide or too narrow, you can buy and sell the underlyings. But I can't give any particular reason as to why the discount has opened up, to be honest.
You find it... Stephen, you find it with most of them. For the first time, PSG is actually trading at a discount.
Because they used to trade,
always at a premium for reasons that one could never explain. But it's now trading at a discount. And when they are at a discount, sometimes it's better to buy them because you're getting into the stock cheaper.
And are you seeing an opportunity for PSG then?
You get into Capitec, get into Curo, you get into what are fairly good operations at a discount to where the market is pricing them. Remgro, has always been trading at a discount to its underlying value, which was made up of, now it's mainly FirstRand and also of Mediclinic. But it's not unusual for the markets.
But I mean, just a general comment, somehow that discount, when you buy the share, doesn't as unwind as quickly as what you hoped it does. It almost always seems to be the case.
And of course we have that, the famous one.
The famous one, the big one.
Do you see an opportunity for RMI or RMH with that wide discount? Would you be buying those or would you rather focus on the underlyings?
Yeah, I'd rather do that. I haven't looked at that actual discount in a week or two. But if it is at or near historic highs, then it does pay to buy those rather than the underlying. But just make sure you like the underlying. As I said, RMH is quite easy, but RMI, there's quite a few businesses in there.
What's RMI? It's OUTsurance. You can't get OUTsurance.
Discovery, so yeah. MMI, and yeah. a few others. Mm.
Okay. So if you want OUTsurance, this is your only opportunity to get OUTsurance.
Okay. So going further afield, and Sean would like the team's opinion on Unilever, if the team looks at that.
Yeah. I've spent quite a bit of time looking at some of the consumer staples, and they've underperformed to a large extent, and can't understand why these kind of companies have really underperformed the market.
It's because the tech's outperformed.
Or tech's outperformed, but there's another thing is that they haven't got pricing power. One of the reasons they haven't got pricing power is that the online offerers always discount the products and always offer similar products at maybe lower levels than that. So it's something I'm still working out or still trying to establish. But a lot of these companies have, haven't reached where we thought they would reach. Yeah. But Reckitt Benckiser is another one. Yeah. Also, great products, wonderful, wonderful brands there, and yet haven't really done all that well.
But look, in theory, if we're in late cycle, then it's these ones and the utilities and the cell phone companies that you want to own. Mm. Because you've got a definitive earnings stream.
Okay, so consumer companies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stable consumer companies, yeah.
Okay. And Quantum Foods, either of you?
I'm becoming very cautious on all food companies. I think they are just too volatile, to be honest. They are subject to many more risks than a retailer, for example, or a bank, for example.
Well, apart from Listeria.
Listeria.
Wow, Tigers came out. Did you see Tigers came out of the statement?
No, today?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, admitting that they found whatever the technical name is, T blah blah. So they were
up. Was that particular strain of Listeria?
They have found that, in the factories, they did find evidence of it.
You look, I mean, so the I suppose the non-commodity food like Quantum could be something that you look into, but I'm just becoming cautious, and I think they're too risky, all these companies there.
Okay. Platinum risky?
Yes.
Yes.
Impala Platinum?
Yes. But understand the dynamics of the platinum market. Very simplistically, it's in oversupply at the moment, but at some stage in the not too distant future, the oversupply is going to disappear because the guys cannot just continue making losses. And under that scenario, the demand for the PGMs is actually still looks reasonably good for, quite frankly, a sustained time period. So it's not as though demand is collapsing for the PGM products. Mm-hmm. And even with electric vehicles, it's a very, very slow progression, until that truly starts to bite. And at some stage, all the loss makers, Impala is going to have to shut down production. Lonro, everything there is loss making. They're going to have to shut production. And the oversupply will come, but the problem is you don't know if this is in 3 years' time or 5 years.
No.
Because platinum is still needed. It's not as though the demand is dissipating and there's oversupply, just that there was far too aggressive expansion when platinum, what did platinum get to, 2,000?
Over 2,000.
Over 2,000.
And I remember 2,230 or something like that.
Far too much expansion now at 900. Only Amplats that's actually making money. The rest are not making money.
Yeah, and we only saw Amplats' reaction to its
production report.
Yeah, but it's been very disappointing. I think a rand at around about 1250 is a lot better than a rand at 1160 for the platinum producer.
No, of course. Mm. Okay, well, we have to go to a break, so keep sending through those questions via SMS to 41392. You can email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za, and you can tweet us @BusinessDayTV using the hashtag Stockwatch. Welcome back. Time to check out on how global markets are trading. We're starting off in the United States. Things are starting to turn positive. So with the NASDAQ, we had Twitter initially up by 10%, then falling by 4%. But you can see the NASDAQ has now broken positive again, just a few points higher. S&P 500 is still weaker. Caterpillar was down again, an early trade for a second day. So some of those results pushing the market lower. S&P 500 down by 0.25%. Dow Jones also positive at this stage. Across the Atlantic, negative closes all round, with the FTSE 100 and the CAC 40 in Paris both closing about 0.6% lower, and the DAX in Frankfurt ending 1% down. Still with me in studio, David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities, Wayne McCurry from Ashburton Investments. We have a question on Dis-Chem, whether it's still expensive. It's massively underowned due to this expensive PE comment, he says. So what's the panel's view now?
Well, Dis-Chem is still expensive, but quite frankly, we'd still buy it.
Yeah. What PE is Dis-Chem on?
I think it's over 30.
Yeah. So cheaper than Clicks.
Yeah. Well, the Clicks is a similar thing, and every time we try to talk Clicks down, it keeps going up. So there's a momentum play there, which I don't think you're going to disturb. So those two seem to be leading the retailers.
And it's not just a momentum play on the share per se. They've still got a lot of expansion they can do in Dis-Chem. They can expand their product range massively because they're getting people into their store. So they're already selling sort of fluffy slippers and stuff and non-pharmaceutical
They sell a lot more
stuff.
Than Click sells.
And now they're selling, you know, ready-freeze meals and all sorts of things. And they can expand that. Yeah, you can go there and buy your leaner but meaner TV dinner, lasagna with cauliflower.
No.
I'm just saying.
I normally have to stand behind a lot of old people for a prescription.
Yeah, they can expand their product range because people like the brand. Mm. So not dissimilar to Woolies 20 years ago when Woolworths just used to sell food. Mm-hmm. And then they expanded into crockery and cutlery and all the rest of it, which was enormously successful. Not so much nowadays, but so it's the same. It's a similar idea. You got not dissimilar to Discovery. You got a very loyal customer base, and you're just selling more and more product to that customer base. Whereas Clicks, I think, has, or I don't know whether they can expand their. I mean, it's still very successful, but whether they can expand their product base to the same extent that Dis-Chem can.
That's an interesting thing. Dis-Chem still has to expand.
Yeah,
Clicks has got. Huge number of more stores.
But I'm surprised at how many more is opening. So
well,
another 400 this year.
As people start to pull out, as companies start to feel the pressure of this economy and start to give up space in retail malls and that, in comes Dis-Chem.
Yeah.
So I think you're going to see massive expansion in that as others hold back. And things are tough at the moment.
Not so tough at the moment, David. Consumer confidence is the highest jump in 30 years.
And at an all-time high.
And at an all-time high. So the economy is not going to be so tough going forward anymore.
It's, funny enough, it's not. If you saw Standard yesterday, they said that it hasn't translated into activity.
It hasn't yet, but it's coming. If that's the number, you can expect it. But it's also interesting, and it's more overseas, obviously, the sort of basic necessity type of convenience shopping is not affected. But anything higher up, you know, over the last 4 or 5 years, 15 to 20% of their sales has disappeared to the internet. Mm. And this is a growing trend, and it will eventually get to South Africa when we sort out our logistics a bit better. But the trend for anything other than convenience is you're still going to have a shop. Mm. It'll just be a much smaller footprint shop, and there will be fewer.
Yeah.
So it's not as though Sandton City is going to disappear tomorrow because everything's going online. But this is a developing trend. And it's also not going to happen tomorrow. But it's a developing trend that specifically overseas, Germany and the US, these retailers are taking strain here because the stuff's disappearing online.
Wayne, I saw that in New York. Quite a few of the chains
where
they were in residential areas in New York, you're starting to see quite a few shops close, being hurt by the internet, because there it's overnight. You know, your vegetables, you order 8 o'clock tonight, tomorrow morning knock on the door, even fresh vegetables are
I like to go and choose my. I want to see it before I buy it.
They won't let you down because they can't, because once they let you down.
I really don't think the threats in basics like that. I think people will still buy basics because to have it, you've got to be at home, but anything special. You might want to order it on the internet.
Because so those slippers that you buy at Dis-Chem.
Those fluffy slippers you buy at Dis-Chem. But it's quite interesting. I think the true opportunity of the internet age, the order from home age, is not in the actual suppliers. I think the true opportunity is in logistics. Because now Woolworths has got one, and Clicks has got one, and Dis-Chem's got one, and Springbok Pharmacy has got one, and
this
one's
got
one,
fastest.
And this one, and this one, and this one. I think there's a huge opportunity for one or two big operators to come and say, I will do it for you. So I think there's a huge opportunity in consolidation of all of these online retailer distribution networks. So all the companies send their stuff to one distribution center, and then one truck comes to your house with 10 different products from 10 different companies in it. Because now it's one product coming in one truck to your house.
Yeah.
There you are.
And they best do it before before Amazon Prime comes.
Yeah, and it's interesting that a lot of guys overseas are looking at all the food delivery guys, because the food delivery guys only work after 5:30 in the afternoon. They don't deliver pizzas at 3:00 in the afternoon. It's evening. So during the day, they're twiddling their thumbs. A lot of guys are now using the food
distribution. Well, you've got Uber Foods. You've got,
they still only work after 5:30. Yeah, yeah. So I'm saying these guys in the morning and afternoon, there's this whole logistics sitting there. So lots of guys are using that now to do their distribution. And of course, if you're distributing fast foods, you do it faster.
Okay.
That's your game. You can't get the pizza there cold.
Well, from new economy stuff, there's an old economy question. Larry would like to know whether AngloGold Ashanti and Sibanye are buys.
Yeah.
Oh, no. They're battling.
No, gold's just too unpredictable. I mean, I saw an article today about the new age coming for gold in this late cycle behavior and how gold's going to go through the roof. And you can't predict anything. Mm. But gold is more difficult to predict than anything else. And if you look at the gold index in the last, in fact, since 1982, gold shares have been pathetically poor investments.
Mm. It's such a difficult industry. So difficult to dig holes in the ground, extract things, and then you've got no control over the price.
Yeah. Yeah, and you can't add value.
Mm. And you looked at Goldfield's update today, and the shares are down 5%.
How long has this South Deep been going on? It just keeps going on and on.
And it's ironic that was the only South African mine they held on to.
And it's just giving them ongoing trouble.
They've had a troubled history, that South Deep.
Have a look at Anglo's, with Minos Rios.
Donkey's years, that South Deep's been a problem.
And I suppose in this time around, it's also labor issues which are affecting it. And that's what you have with gold miners as opposed to buying physical gold.
But there's always, I was saying with Anglo's and Minas Rios, pipeline problem now, going to hurt them. It's always something
and
there.
It's big that, eh?
It's massive.
Didn't think it was going to be that big.
Okay, I'm squeezing another one before stock picks. Your views on Discovery at current levels. So we discussed RMI.
Yeah, Discovery just looks expensive, eh? It looks expensive. They're operating at quite a significant premium to their own calculated fair value or net asset value. Discovery looks expensive.
And for you, David?
I hold them. And
You're not buying them, though?
I agree with Wayne. I think they're a very innovative bunch of people. And they're always looking to do something. And you've got to give them credit for that. But down the line, the results have got to come through, and you never get cash out of them. So you are buying a lot of future. But this Ping Yang is starting to come right now and looks very, very attractive.
Mm-hmm. And Discovery Bank. And I think there's a few more launches this year as well.
We're going to see what happens, because I'm sure they're going to disrupt that industry as
Discovery
well.
Bank needs serious capital to get going. I mean, if they are going to truly disrupt the industry, they've got to raise tens of billions in the market to give them capital. Because as David said, there's no cash here. There's no capital.
Mm. Yeah.
They're always capital leaking.
And of course, you need to have a big balance sheet as a bank.
Big balance sheet. So expect a rights issue of note here.
Okay. So would you be buying ahead of the rights issue?
No.
Buy the rights.
Yeah. Buy the rights. Cool. Okay, we're going with stock picks. And David, British American Tobacco.
It looks particularly cheap. And today at the AGM, the management said that the new age products, what do they call them? The new generation products, are doing very well. And they're basing their future on it. Now, Philip Morris came down because of that, but there seemed to be a positive reaction to the AGM. I just think you're getting at a level now where it's starting to look very attractive. Yeah.
And you prefer to go for British American Tobacco than Rennet?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I like to do the direct one. There's nothing wrong with Rennet. You might be getting it at a discount, but I prefer to be in American Tobacco itself. Simply, there's a lot more liquidity there.
And if you see more weakness coming through in the rand, it should, of course, benefit British American Tobacco. And Wayne, you've also choosing a rand hedge, Bidcorp.
And I mean, that's the fundamental reason why I'm choosing it, is that, and just to be a stuck record, we've spoken about this for a long time now, you should be increasing your rand hedge exposure when the rand was at 12 or 11.60. And of course, Bidcorp, we all know the company, we all know it's well run. I'm still quite positive about the European economy. It's not nearly as late cycle as the US economy. And of course, chucking a weaker rand there,
Okay, so two rand hedges for tonight's stock picks. That's Bidcorp and British American Tobacco. We have to leave it there. Thank you both very much. Get some sleep, David.
Yes. I am.
That's all we have time for tonight. We'll be taking more of your stock-related questions the same time tomorrow evening. Thanks again to David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities, Wade McCurry from Ashburton Investments. We're going with stock picks, and David, British American Tobacco,
It looks particularly cheap, and today at the AGM, the management said that the new age products, what do they call them, the new generation products, are doing very well, and they're basing their future on it. Now, Philip Morris came down because of that, but there seemed to be a positive reaction to the AGM. I just think you're getting at a level now where it's starting to look very attractive. Yeah.
And you prefer to go for British American Tobacco than Rennet?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I like to do the direct one. There's nothing wrong with Rennet. You might be getting it at a discount, but I prefer to be in British, American Tobacco itself. Simply, there's a lot more liquidity there.
And if you see more weakness coming through in the round, it should, of course, benefit British American Tobacco. And Wayne, you've also choosing a round hedge, Bidcorp.
And I mean, that's the fundamental reason why I'm choosing it, is that. And, just to be a stuck record, we've spoken about this for a long time now, you should be increasing your rand hedge exposure when the rand was at 12 or 11.60. And, of course, Bidcorp, we all know the company, all know it's well run. I'm still quite positive about the European economy. It's not nearly as late cycle as the U.S. economy. And, of course, chucking a weaker rand there.
Okay, so two rand hedges for tonight's stock picks. That's Bidcorp and British American Tobacco. We have to leave it there. Thank you both very much. Get some sleep, David.
Yes. I am.
That's all we have time for tonight. We'll be taking more of your stock-related questions the same time tomorrow evening. Thanks again to David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities, Wade McCurry from Ashburton Investments.